So I have a big list of things that I wanted to share with you just really quickly this morning. First is, so I don't want anybody to be upset. I've got a cold, so when I'm greeting you at the end of the service, I'm just going to nod my head at you because I don't need to share the blessing of the cold with you. And I also want to apologize ahead of time if I cough during the sermon because, you all know me and my lungs, sometimes it can get away with me. So hopefully the tech booth will be able to mute me real quick so you don't have to hear me cough in your ear. But just a couple of really quick things I wanted to share with you. One, we are going to be starting the new fall book series with the Sunday school and all through it, Sunday schools and all of the church as well. If you liked the book Practicing the Way last fall, you will really enjoy the book that the spiritual formation team has chosen for this fall. And Parker, what's the name of it again? Beautiful Resistance. And one of the things that I want you to know, and Parker wants you to know, is that the sermons and the podcasts that we do, they will all follow thematically what's going on in the book on a week-to-week basis. So it's a good way to kind of plug in and really get involved in all of the things that we're talking about and worshiping through. Not only do we hope that you read the book with us, and you can see Parker if you'd like to get a book, but we also want to invite you, if you'd like to, if you don't attend regularly a Sunday school class and you wanted to go to a Sunday school class to talk through the book, we invite you to do that. Or you can just gather a group of friends and go find a place at Starbucks and sit down and discuss the book too. The other thing I wanted to share is that on September 7th, Children's Sunday School is going to start up between the services in the Sunday school time, regular Sunday school time. Also, you have heard us talk for many months about the work that we are doing in our church's preschool, and we want to share with you all the completion of that work. You all have been so generous with your gifts and your time. And we want you to see what the beautiful school looks like now. We've new flooring and new paint, new rugs, all kinds of different things. So today, after this service, we're having an open house, and I've opened the door already. We just want to invite you to go into to SHEP, the Early Learning Center that we have here, and go upstairs, downstairs, peek into all the rooms. It really looks beautiful. And I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we were actually in the Tops magazine or the Best Of magazine, but our school was voted best daycare and preschool in Lexington. So we're really excited about that. So go down and have a look at that after the service. Also, we're going to have a membership Sunday on September 21st. So if you have been attending here and you would like to become a member and deepen your ties to this congregation, and you are not necessarily a fan of coming up here all by yourself and taking membership vows, but you're okay with maybe having other people up here with you, well, September 21st is your date. So keep that in mind. And then finally, on that evening of September 21st, we're going to have a church potluck. So we'll be able to also celebrate not only one another, but all of those new folks that are part of our ministries here. I want to invite you to stand now. Let's greet one another in the name of Jesus. Let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, I just want to thank you for just in the very brief moments of us greeting one another and sharing our lives with one another. I just want to give thanks for the many different ways that you've been working in people's lives here in this congregation. And I just want to thank you for that. We thank you for that. You are moving in our midst. And Jesus, we know that your Spirit is here in this place. And as we come and worship you this morning, as we hear from your word, as you come to heal us and to challenge us, Jesus, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you, to be with one another. And so pour out your Spirit upon us as we worship you. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. invite you to stand as you are able for the call to worship. And these are the words from God. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will give you the treasures of darkness. That it is I, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no other. Let us worship God together. God delights in our praise and adoration and each of your singing. We turn now to the Psalms, Psalm 113, and let us read it responsively as we continue to honor God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
From rising the sun to this day.
The Lord is high above all nations, God's glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down upon the heavens and the earth.
God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes of God's people.
Praise the Lord.
Be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
Good morning, everybody. Come on down. This has been a very exciting week for all of you because what happened? You went somewhere. They're not like acting very excited. School started. How many of you guys were excited for that to happen?
20.
20? The parents all raised their hand. How many of you were a little nervous for it to happen? Nobody was nervous. You guys are old pros. You were a little bit nervous? Yeah, that's okay to be nervous. Well, I brought a backpack with me today. What are some of the things that you pack in your backpack going back to school?
Water bottle,
pencil case,
lunchbox,
folders. Okay, let's see what I have in mine. I brought a notebook. This one's yours. She's like, why are you taking my stuff? We brought a notebook, which we use notebooks, right, to write down what we've learned, right? So, and it's kind of a way for us to remember what we've learned in school because we can look in our notebook. What, when we're trying to remember what we know about God, where can we go look?
In the Bible.
That's exactly right. Yep. I've got these pencils. What do you use pencils for?
Writing
down what you're learning. They're like a tool that the school gives you to be able to write down what you're learning. You know, I was thinking about some tools that God gives us at the beginning of the school year, but really all the time, but it's really good to remember at the beginning of the school year. I was thinking about the fruits of the Spirit. These are tools that God gives us in how we act and what we say, that we're supposed to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Have you ever heard all of the fruits of the Spirit? We can't sing the fruit of the Spirit song right now, but we'll do that another time, okay? All right, I also have a snack. Raise your hand if you bring a snack to school. Yeah, some of our girls like to bring snacks too. Snacks gives us energy, right? You cannot have it right now, sorry. Snacks give us energy so that we can get through the day. And you know what gives me energy is knowing that God is with me all day at school. Is he with you when you're on the playground?
Yeah.
Is he with you when you go to the cafeteria? Is he with you when you're running laps around the gym? He's with you all day long. Now, some of you may or may not have this in your backpack. Some of you might. What is this?
A Bible.
And we all know that the Bible reminds us that God is always with us. And I want you to remember today that God is with you in this school year. He's not just with you when you're at church. He's not just with you when you're saying prayers before dinner. God is with us wherever we go. And so I want to read you one of my favorite Bible verses. It comes from the book of Proverbs, which is in the middle of the Bible near Psalms, okay? And Proverbs give us really wise statements. What does it mean to be wise? Means you're really smart. So we should really listen to what's in Proverbs because it's very smart. This is what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where's your heart? Do not depend on your own understanding. That comes from our mind. In all of your ways, remember him and he will make your path smooth and straight. So even when we're feeling nervous at the beginning of a new school year, because we have new friends to meet, new lessons to learn, we can remember that if we trust in God, he's always with us and he will always make our path really straight as long as we use the tools, like these school supplies, that he's given us, like the fruits of the Spirit. And as long as we can make our words and our actions line up with those things, okay? So let's say a prayer and then we're going to head upstairs. Let's bow our heads. Holy God, thank you for helping us to get ready for this new school year. God, I pray that you would help us all to trust you with all of our heart. God, that we would not lean on our own understanding, but that we would acknowledge you and that you will make our path straight. We love you, God, and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, let's go.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is freedom from all of those things, sin and death, that warp us and prevent us from living into the fullness of what God's kingdom has for us. And in that spirit, let us go and pray this prayer of confession together. O God, we have lived without regard to the limitations you have placed upon us. Forgive us. We have acted as if we are alone in our service to others. Have mercy upon us. We have neglected the means of grace which nourish and sustain us. Forgive us and have mercy upon us. Draw near to your people. Restore our souls and grant us your peace.
Thank you.
believe the good news. The dwelling of God is with men and women. The one who redeems Israel will be our God, and we will be God's people. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Thanks be to God. Amen. Lord, we give thanks for your mercy. Give thanks that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Even as we stray far from you, you never hesitate to welcome us back. We repent of those times where we believed we knew better than you, where we believed that the ends justified the means. Your kingdom is abundant in mercy, but not compromise. Give us wisdom and courage so that we might follow you with our whole heart. Strengthen us and knit us together as one body, your church, unified by your Holy Spirit. May we demonstrate the virtues that characterize your kingdom, those of peace, hope, faith, and above all, love. May we not jump to conclusions about one another or fall into the tribalisms of our time. May we love one another more than we want to be right. In that spirit of hope and the radical love demonstrated by your Son in his death and resurrection, we pray now for all of those who carry burdens, for those of us who are sick or those we know who are sick, both the ones in our community and those we do not know, those suffering with mental illness, addiction, or homelessness in our community, we intercede on their behalf. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray for peace in our world, and we lift up all of our leaders to you, those in our state, our nation, and those abroad. Give them wisdom and the strength to be wise. And Lord, as we endeavor to embrace your kingdom in its fullness, let us pray even for our enemies, those personal and corporate. Forgive them, Lord. Show them mercy as you have shown us mercy. And refine and purify our hearts until we can mean what we say. And in the spirit of unity, the one that joins us all together despite the ways that we are divided by race and language and so many other things, we now join with churches of every nation and tongue as we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would now like to invite our ushers to receive our morning offerings.
Thank you.
Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us who are gathered here and upon these tithes and offerings. And Lord, as we learn about your kingdom and your work and holding fast to you, Lord, we pray that you will not only receive these gifts, but also the gifts of our lives as we love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 11 in the New Living Translation. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, "You must not marry them, because they will turn your hearts to their gods." Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. In fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been. Solomon worshiped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. In this way, Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He refused to follow the Lord completely, as his father David had done. On the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, he even built a pagan shrine for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and another for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Solomon built such shrines for all his foreign wives to use for burning incense and sacrificing to their gods. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command. So now the Lord said to him, "Since you have not kept my covenant and have not obeyed my decrees, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You know, in our life, allegiance can be a very, very important thing, can it, Bob? I know you're very allegiant to Tennessee. And I, you know, we all have our faults, but I love Bob. But around these parts, we are UK fans, and if you're not, I guess we kind of give you a little bit of a sideways glance, but we love you anyway. But, you know, UK basketball in Kentucky is just, well, it's pretty important to a lot of folks, isn't it? And can you imagine? I mean, just think about your own family. I was thinking about growing up in my own family, you know. When there was a game on, Dad always had it on, and we often would watch it together, and I always loved Dad coach from the TV. And it's like, well, Dad, I mean, they are just kids. I mean, they're just college students. I mean, they're trying their best, you know. On and on and on. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I had to quit watching for a while, though, because it gave me so much anxiety during that time period, because they would always get way behind in the second half, only to come back at the very last little bit and win by like 2 points. It was like, ah! But can you imagine? You know, we bleed blue here, right? Or most of us do. Can you imagine, though, if you live in a UK family, and my son does go to UK, by the way, if you learned that one of your children were sneaking along over the weekend and going all the way to Duke University to watch some basketball games, and they loved Christian Laettner, what would you do? That's like the deepest cut that you could have, right? And then the worst part is they meet somebody while they're over there and they marry one of those devils from Duke. And now you have that in your family. You see how far your family strayed so quickly just because you went and you worshiped, or, well, I shouldn't say that, but you went to Duke and watched one of those basketball games. It's all fun. I tell a little bit of that to get us to laugh, because to be honest with you, a little bit of this passage that Parker read for us, it's a little deep, isn't it? It's a little heavy. And, you know, there's some hope in it too, and we'll talk about that, and we'll share about that as well. But I do think from time to time, it is really good to go to the parts of the Bible that maybe make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, just so that we're reminded. And it is important that God can speak to us through that discomfort, because it awakens something deeply within us and makes us aware of our own lives. And I do believe that the Spirit does speak to us through those sorts of things. And we hear Solomon's story, don't we? And, you know, I read it and I think to myself, well, gosh, you know, how silly could you be? I mean, I wouldn't bow down to any of those idols. I wouldn't build any altars to idols in my own life. I mean, y'all wouldn't either, right? You think about it, it's like, no, my goodness, why would he do that? What was going on with Solomon? But you know, there is this thing, though, that I've picked up about the human heart over the years, and even in examining my own heart, and it's that our hearts are so very capable of finding ways to love other things than God. And sometimes it just kind of starts with a little thing, you know. It's like, you know, when somebody's trying to get in the door of your house or something, and I don't know, like somebody's trying to sell you internet at your house, and you're just like, no, I don't want it. And they put their foot in the jam between the door and the where the door closes, and it's like, you can't shut the door now. And it's like, oh, now I'm stuck. And it's a little bit like that, you know. It just gives it a little bit of an opening, and then it just opens more and more and more. And for Solomon, it started with women. And I really don't have to say this. I mean, I think I heard some of you actually laugh when Parker was reading scripture. He said he had 700 wives. That dude had a problem. I mean, he did. I mean, and 700 wives was not enough. He had to have 300 concubines on top of that. He had a problem. And that was the foot into the door of his heart that allowed his guard down, and, well, it wasn't good. And we're going to talk a little bit more about all of that. It's interesting because in the Scripture, it doesn't really come out all that well in English, but in Scripture, it talks about Solomon's heart being bent and twisted in ways, like a branch in the wind. And we've all seen branches, they move and they twist and they turn in the wind. I often think about maybe some trees that I've seen up on a cliff that faces the ocean, and when the gales are really going, or like yesterday afternoon, I don't know where you all live, but where I live, boy, there was a lot of wind, and the trees in my backyard were just doing that. We think about that, and that was Solomon's heart waving around and not anchored to anything. When I was a boy scout actually, and I love going out hiking and doing the camping and all of that kind of stuff. And of course, in Boy Scouts, you always learn how to tie knots, and I always liked to have some rope with me. And I really, really liked when we were learning how to like rock climb and rappel and all of that stuff. And I love that kind of rope because it was so easy to tie knots into and pull it apart. And the thing about it is they really, when you rock climb or rappel, they always say, before you do any climbing, every day that you do climbing, you look at your ropes. And you look and see if there's any frays or anything like that. You examine them. And if you start seeing some fraying, well, you don't use that rope. You need to replace it. You don't go climbing on that day, or you find another rope to replace it with and use it. And Solomon's love for all of these women that really diverted him and his heart away from God, it was a little bit like this fraying rope on the screen. Little bit, marriage by marriage, introduction to other gods, the pantheon in that area. Well, his love for God was just like that fraying rope, and just one little bit after another, it was chafed on the rocks of life until it was so frayed, so frayed. And his strength and everything that he believed in and his father believed in and his nation believed in, it became more and more distant from who he was as a human being. And, you know, life for us can often unravel in the same way that that rope does on the screen. When our lives go through times of struggle, sometimes it's just one little thread at a time, right? And it's like it picks at you, and it pulls, and it pulls, and it chafes you, and life can really make you hard at heart, hard-hearted, rather. Sometimes there's times, horrible times in our life, when that rope just snaps and breaks, and we become completely unmoored. My wife and I love going on cruise vacations. It's our favorite kind of vacation. I don't know how many we've been on, a bunch. And I'm always amazed when, you know, you're getting ready to go up on the ship and you see these great big ropes that's mooring that big ship to the pier. And I look at them and they're really amazing. I mean, they're huge. They're big round things. And I see all the workers and they're throwing it up here and doing that. And they have all these fancy knots and everything. It's a lot of fun to watch. And I often wonder what would happen if one of those big old ropes broke while that ship was in dock. Well, YouTube is a wonderful resource, let me just tell you. And I found this video of, I think it was, well, I don't, probably shouldn't mention company names, but this one company, their ship, great big old ship, and one of those ropes snapped, and thankfully nobody was down there because it probably would have killed them. And then the bow of the ship just started slowly but surely pulling away from the pier. But here's the thing. This was a really busy harbor. I think it was up in New York. And the bow of that ship just kind of slowly but surely tilted around, and it hit another ship in the back and like cut right through it, right where the dining room was. And all the glass went everywhere, and people were screaming, and it was like, whoa! It's amazing to see, and I imagine very, very frightening as well. But it was amazing how when that frayed, weakened rope let loose, that ship lost all of its moorings, and it went crashing. The rope broke, and it drifted. And Solomon drifted in his life. It really is hard to kind of pick up from the passage just how far he drifted, but let me tell you all about it. You know, last week we talked about Abraham, right? And we talked about how faithful he was. He came from that part of Mesopotamia out onto the east of where modern-day Israel is. I shared with you how the Bible talks about in other places than in Genesis, how he was a polytheist. He worshipped a lot of other gods, and yet Yahweh, our God, called him out of that, called him to come to Canaan and inhabit there. He's going to bless him, make a covenant, and that his family was going to be a blessing to the nations. It's all the plan of God, God's mission. And one of the interesting things when you think about it is that Abraham went from being a polytheist, one who worships a bunch of gods, to a monotheist. He just worshiped Yahweh. And he was very faithful to Yahweh. So much so that the writer of Hebrews speaks about it and has righteousness of his heart. But here's the thing. Solomon did the exact opposite. He went from being a monotheist in a monotheistic family, the son of the great King David of Israel, and he became a polytheist. And boy, oh boy, did he choose some boogers to worship. Oh my goodness. One of the things that the Bible passage mentions is that he built an altar to Molech. And when I was in Israel on one of my trips, they talked about this and the Canaanites and how they would build. I mean, this is just an artist's rendition. I don't know if we know exactly what the altars looked like or how they pictured Molech. But we do know, though, from some of the archaeological evidence that they would build these statues or idols of Molech out of like a bronze, and then they would be hollow in the inside. And they went to build a fire underneath of, there was a special chamber underneath of that idol, and they would put wood in there, and they would burn it, and they would get that idol super duper hot. Now, as you can see in this picture, of course, there the Molech's hands are outreached there. And I thought about even talking about this morning, but I think that I've decided to just talk about it a little bit because this just breaks my heart. I don't even want to talk about it. But it shows how far Solomon drifted. They would take babies and put them into the hot hands of that idol. And that's how they would sacrifice children. That's how far Solomon fell from his anchored moorings to Yahweh. It's awful. And I would say that Solomon, because of that foot in the door and with his problem with women and all that goes with that, it degraded so much so that the rope that was holding him to God closely, it snapped when he built that altar on a hill that is almost level, the Mount of Olives, with the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. He was, and the scripture said, if you caught it, he sacrificed abundantly to Molech. Solomon lost his ethics, he lost his morals, and I think theologically, we'll talk about this in the podcast more, but I would say he lost his humanity. Now, why would I say that? Because he became less human because he no longer loved God with all of his heart. He was no longer tied to Yahweh in any meaningful way. And I think conversely, I would say that when we love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, we become more human. More human. Now, why do I say that? Of course, you all know Genesis. You know about the creation of human beings. You've heard, of course, we're made in the image of God perfectly and beautifully. And that at the fall, of course, some of that beauty and that perfection was stripped away. It fell away from us. And one of the ways that I think that God restores that image in us is that we're called through Jesus in this relationship to God in very powerful ways through love. And it's through that relationship, that anchoring, that mooring through the rope of our lives, that the love of God penetrates us in our hearts and changes us. This is a very Wesleyan thing. I mean, this is something that Methodists very, very much believe in, that God changes our hearts through his power, through his grace. And Solomon's story is it's a warning, I think, to all of us and to me about what happens when we let our ropes go unchecked. Now, here's the thing. There would be some pastors out there on a Sunday morning that would absolutely berate you about this. And I'm not that kind of pastor, and I'm not that kind of preacher, because I know Jesus, and I know Jesus' character, and I know how Jesus thinks about us. And he wants us to examine these fraying ropes of our life, because he wants to mend the rope. And it's a work that he does in us. I really think that there is a part that we can do, but so much of it so is God's work in us. Now, do you remember when Jesus taught about, you know, they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And it's love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength. And he said, the second commandment is, oh, you all are good. And here's why I think that's really, really important, is because when we are tied with strong, beautiful, powerful ropes, we're moored very, very firmly to God. God increases our humanness. In this way, we're more like we were originally created. And when it's like that, we start to love other people in the same kind of ways that God loves other people. We see them and we have compassion for them and love them. Probably the most influential, most powerful parable for me in my life has been the parable of the prodigal son. Much of my life, I probably have identified with the elder brother because I was like, well, I'm the one that stayed. You know, why don't I get a party? You know, I've been a Christian all my life, and I've really been blessed because of that. But there's also been times in my life where I've been the prodigal and I've wandered and frayed the rope of my heart as well. And it always is amazing to me, this image of the Father standing on a hill every morning looking out for his son that has gone away, day after day after day, searching and searching, his heart breaking for his child. And then there comes the day when he spots his child off in the distance. And without any care for any kind of propriety, he runs to his son and embraces him, puts a ring on his finger, and they have a party, and they kill the fatted calf and all of that. And I think what's important for me today for you to hear is that that's our God. He's the Father that's looking out for us and saying to us, if we're the elder son or the younger too, you know, your rope's a little frayed. Let me mend it for you. Let me mend it for you. It's not out of any sense of guilt or shame of having a rope that gets frayed by the trials of life. No, it's compassion, the kind of compassion that we have for children. So different than Solomon. It's the kind of compassion that we have for children that comes from God. And that's how he views you. He wants to mend the ropes of our hearts. He wants to cultivate virtue deeply within us as we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I pray that I and all of us will be moored strongly to the heart of God all of the days of our life. All of the days of our life. I want to invite you to respond to what God might be speaking to your heart this morning. And again, this is a loving God, a welcoming God that's embracing you now. And to stand and let's sing together, A Charge to Keep My Hand. Pay attention to the words and think about them and have those good conversations with God as we sing together.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, we go from this place with the love of God dwelling deeply within our heart, knowing that we are children of God, knowing that we are tethered to the one that keeps us centered, and that the one that tethers us loves us so deeply. And yet, there are many who are untethered in the world. And maybe they are like ships crashing and bumping in their lives, and they are in need of mooring once again. And so it is through our lives and through our tender mercy and care that we help others to re-moor back to Jesus Christ. You know, that blessing that began all the way back with Abraham, I'll bless all of the nations because of you. That's you all. You get to bless others because you're children of Abraham. And so go into the world full of the Spirit of Christ and be a blessing to each and every one that you encounter this week. God bless you all so much. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.